Hey folks, John Solomon here from John Solomon Reports. I'm proud to be on the iHeartRadio app every day with my podcast, with the news that we bring, the exclusive interviews. And you know what else is great? You can listen to any iHeartRadio station anywhere in the country inside this free app. I used to listen to all sorts of radio on my AM or FM radio. Today, I don't have time to be in the car that often. You know where I listen? I listen on the iHeartRadio app. It's awesome. And they have some really cool new features, unlike anything else in the market. One of them is called Talkback Mic. Anytime I have something to say, I tap the mic and send my voice message and then listen to hear my voice on one of my favorite shows. Isn't that cool? You can send a message to your favorite disc jockey, your favorite podcast show host. So be sure to download the iHeart app radio. If you don't have it right now, the iHeart Radio app is a winner. Be sure to download the free iHeart Radio app today and start streaming your favorite radio stations, your favorite podcasts, and your favorite music playlists right from the iHeart Radio app. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News, where today, January 4th, 2021, a new year, a new week, and a new drama. In the next 48 hours, two big electoral moments are going to happen. First, the runoff in Georgia will be settled. The two Senate seats, which will determine control of the Senate. If the Democrats win both seats and Vice President Kamala Harris becomes vice president, they will have the ability with her vote to control the Senate, even though Republicans have already won 50 seats. If the Republicans win one or more of those seats tomorrow, either Kelly Loeffler or Senator Perdue, then the Republicans will control the Senate. And if there is a Joe Biden presidency, they will have a counterbalance in Washington. It will not be an all Democratic town. That's tomorrow's election. And there's lots of things we're going to be talking about there. In a few minutes, we're going to have State Representative Vernon Jones, a Democrat from Georgia who knows the state well, been in office for three decades. He's retiring this month. But he's going to tell us what's been going on the ground, what to look for, what are the vote totals to watch, what do the Republicans need to do to win, what do the Democrats need to do to win. We're going to talk to him about that famous phone call between President Trump and Georgia election officials, and we're going to talk about the state of the Democratic Party, why he still calls himself a Democrat, even though he disagrees with much of what his party stands for. So much to talk to with the great Vernon Jones in just a few seconds, the state representative from Georgia. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to try to bring you up to speed on all of the developments, because the other big thing that's going to happen in the next 48 hours, yep, you guessed it, is Congress must decide, will they certify and accept the electors for Joe Biden in Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and Pennsylvania, or will they reject one or more states' electors? We don't know yet, but I'm going to walk you through all the processes that are there right now. But first, let's go to that commercial break from our great sponsors and advertisers. We'll be right back to discuss all the breaking news in this one of the most dramatic weeks in politics in a very long time. All right, we'll be right back. Let's hear from those sponsors first. Hey folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. As I said, in a few minutes, State Representative Vernon Jones of the great state of Georgia, someone who's been in office and in politics for three, 4 decades there. He is a Trump-supporting Democrat in Georgia. He's going to give us the very latest intelligence on the ground in the battleground of Georgia just a few hours before President Trump lands in Georgia to rally Republican voters. Big stakes, whoever wins tomorrow's runoff election, whichever party wins, will control the Senate for the next 2 years. If it's Republicans, they need to win at least one more seat of the two that are there. Either Kelly Loeffler or Senator Perdue must win. If it's the Democrats, they need to win both seats. And then they got to hope that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris get in office on January 20th. But in the meantime, I want to give you some early data here, just real quickly. I want to look at my notes here. I'm going to bring you up to speed. Here's what we got to be watching for. This is very important stuff. Every election has a turnout model, and presidential elections always have the largest. Mid-year congressional elections in the off-presidential years have the second largest. Runoffs usually tend to be a smaller subset. Now, Democrats have been doing the best work at getting out the early vote. Republicans have been doing the best vote in getting out the day of election vote. So I did some modeling over the weekend to take a look at what's going on. And what I see is Democrats have a much larger turnout early that's ever been mustered in a runoff election in Georgia. But they're running about 900,000 votes behind where they were in the November 3rd election. So what does that mean? President Trump comes tonight to Georgia and he gets his vote out and it votes at 100,000 to 200,000 better than the early vote that the Democrats mustered in the runoff, Republicans likely will have a narrow victory. If he gets the full vote out and he mirrors, if he gets Republicans motivated to come out just like they did on November 3rd, and the Democratic vote stays at its current approximation, with the early voting being, you know, about 900,000 behind the pace of November 3rd, Republicans could have a big win. If Republican voter turnout tomorrow, Tuesday, is light, and falls below what the Republicans were able to turn out on Election Day, then the Democrats will control most likely the Senate. So those are the stakes. Those are the numbers. I think that 900,000 gives you a sense, though, that while the Democrats are doing much better than any runoff election and they're running the same playbook, get the vote out early, absentee early vote, Republicans can counter it with a strong Election Day. So what do you got to be watching for tomorrow in Georgia? Watch for long lines, right? We've had Nikki Haley come through the state, all of the establishment come through the state. President Trump was there a month ago. He's coming back tonight for one of those big famous rallies that he does. If the Republican vote turns out in big waves tomorrow, if the polling places are crowded, then Republicans will probably have a good outcome in this election. If it's a normal Republican runoff turnout model, then they're probably going to lose because Democrats have way outperformed any Democratic early voting model for a runoff. So it's all going to come out to get out the vote. It's very close. And those of you watching should be watching closely. Now, I want to talk about one more thing before we get to State Rep Vernon Jones of the great state of Georgia, the Democrat who supports Donald Trump. We have so much to talk to him about there. But before we get to that, I want to turn to the second big thing that will happen this week, and that's on Wednesday. So we get through Georgia. You don't get a break the very next day from politics. You got to come right back because on Georgia, on Wednesday, the Congress must decide whether they're going to certify Joe Biden's election win, except the electors sent to them by the states where there are disputes. What are those states? Well, Wisconsin's one of them. Michigan's one of them. Pennsylvania's one of them. Georgia's one of them. Arizona's one of them. And Nevada's one of them. And what do we know? As of this moment, according to Just the News' own headcount, there appear to be about 12 senators led by Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley that are going to object to at least one state's election electors. And then there are about 100 House representatives, could be more. I think it could be as high as 120 based on the surveys that we're doing inside the Republican. It could be anywhere from as low as 40 to as high as 120. I think that'll be the number of Republicans in the House who might object to one or more elector slates. They'll have their say. If one senator and one lawmaker objects to at least three states, then the president's opportunity to object becomes better. But if they don't object to at least three states, right, then Joe Biden will win. He may. So you have to have first the objections be stated for at least three states where there are enough elector votes to put the 270 number for Joe Biden into a question. That could be Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan, for instance. If one House member, one senator does each of three states, then the debate begins. You get 2 hours, I believe, per state per debate. And then Congress will have to decide by majority rule or otherwise whether or not to accept those states. If Joe Biden falls below 270 because one or more states gets rejected by a majority of the Congress, then there could be a constitutional crisis, a new development here. Right now, my head count does not indicate that there are enough votes to reject any of the state's electors. That could change, right? We're still calling people. There are many scenarios. One is an outright rejection. One is an outright acceptance. A third is for a delay in the acceptance. And that's one of the things that right now there's a movement afoot. If you haven't been watching the news the last couple of days at justthenews.com, there are state legislators being organized by groups like the Amistad Project, Phil Klein, who's been on this show, who are trying to get a large number of legislators in the five or six states, Nevada's in or out, depending on who you talk to. But the five other states, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, to get a large number, maybe 100, maybe 150, whatever the number is, of these state legislators representing their state to say to Mike Pence, the vice president, please don't certify. Let us try to get a 10-day audit going to find out if there was erroneous, illegal, improper votes in our state. That appears to be the last-ditch effort that's going on that may play out on Wednesday. I can't predict right now. As I said, in the head counts that I've done in talking to House and Senate leaders and talking to various members and surveying members, it looks as though the Democrats plus a large enough majority or a large enough portion of the Republicans in both chambers are going to vote to certify Joe Biden to be the 46th president of the United States, at which time, after Wednesday night, it may be over for President Trump unless some court action occurs or something that we don't anticipate has occurred. So that's what's at stake. We're going to go right from the Georgia runoff and determine control of the Senate to the final decision on whether Joe Biden or Donald Trump will be the president on January 20th. We're going to be covering all that live. We're going to have the president's rally live tonight on justthenews.com. We'll have the electors conference in Congress, the electors session, on Wednesday live, and we'll be covering it here stem to stern, as well as the big rally in Washington here January 6th. They call it the Stop the Steal rally, but there's a big rally here. People all over the country coming to support the president and to object to the way this last election began, was conducted, and has been conducted since Election Day. So much to talk about. We're going to have all of that. Now, we're going to go to another commercial break. When we come back, State Rep Vernon Jones of the great state of Georgia is going to join us. We're going to give you the best, latest, up-to-date intel of what's going on the ground in Georgia, so you're up to speed for tomorrow's big historic runoff in the state of Georgia. Don't miss it. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Hey folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right, 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, we're bringing you someone right on the ground in the middle of the big Georgia runoff, the one and only state representative, Vernon Jones. Representative Jones, welcome back to the show. It's so good to have you back.
John, thank you so much for having me back, and I always enjoy having a conversation with you and having your listeners to be involved.
Yes, they're lucky to have you on today. So we're trying to make sense of this historic runoff, right? It's going to determine who controls the Senate for the next 2 years. And let's start off. You know the state better than anyone. You've been in politics here for 30, 40 years. What are you seeing on the ground, and how do you interpret it, 24 hours out before election day?
John, I'm seeing the Democrats go back with their same play that they ran in November. That is, push for their voters to come out early. Historically, Democrats have always pushed for early voting. And this particular case, normally in a runoff, the vote drop off dramatically in terms of coming back for a runoff. But in this particular case, those numbers are up high again for a runoff election. Republicans normally want their voters to come on election day. Right. I have not seen a big effort from Republicans to push early vote again this year. I have seen them push, though, to get out and come back for this runoff. So it's all about in runoff, it's all about who get their voters back. I can tell you Georgia is still a red state. Regardless of what happened, Georgia is not a blue state.
Right.
It is still very much red. However, Republicans, and again, they're basically defaulting back to their game plan, and that is come on election day and vote on election day. If they come out in their numbers, the numbers are there, but if they don't come out, they could lose this election. I hope and I believe they will turn out. But remember, there's been that distraction between those who've been dissatisfied, rightfully so, with the transparency and the free and fair election, at least in their minds and many's minds,
right?
Because of the number of voter irregularities. But if they're not dissuaded by that and realize there's too much at stake, if they don't come back, the left wins, then it's hard to complain.
Yeah, no, that's right. Now, let me ask you this, because you've studied the state and you've won many elections there. When you look at the dynamism, is it a mistake for Republicans not to engage in early vote, or do you think that it's a risk worth taking?
Actually, in all fairness,
yep.
In an election like this, where every number counts, the Republicans should have a dual game plan. One, to get their people out there early, and you have to realize there are people who really are concerned about COVID, and it's more convenient to do early voting or absentee voting.
Right.
Voting. So that's normal. So there should have been a push on that front, and there should have been a push, I should say, as a backup plan to make sure they come out, and more come out who didn't make the early voting, come out on election day. And the Republicans are running a campaign, in my opinion, based on how things were before. Once you won the primary and you're a Republican candidate, you pretty much, you're a Republican nomination, I should say, you pretty much would win the general election.
Right.
Well, Democrats realize that they've had a lot of folks on the rolls who did not vote, and they realized a lot of people were not registered to vote. So they had a different game plan. Let's register a lot of votes, and then let's get them out. Because there's one thing between voter registration and another with voter participation. And so not only they're making sure folks got their folks got registered, they're making sure in terms of now you participate. You've gone through registration, now the next step is participation. I have not seen that type of effort come from Republicans. And I think that's a mistake. But I can tell you this, the Republicans have, based on Donald Trump's lead though, gone after that minority vote. It can make a difference around the fringes. And that is something that the Democrats realized for the first time in a general election, with a heads up, they have panicked and realized that, wait a minute, somebody not instilling that base of voters that we always had,
right.
Can always count on.
Right,
President
right.
Trump changed the dynamics on that.
Yeah, that's a really important point. So the history of elections are: presidential election always gets the biggest vote. A off-year election gets the second biggest vote, and then runoffs tend to be even smaller than an off-year election. So right now in the early voting, the early vote, which has been historically in the last election lean Democrat, is about 900,000 votes behind where it was on November 3rd, 2 days out. So November 1st, there are 900,000 fewer voters right now in the runoff than there were in the general election, 2 days out from the election. But that still means the Democrats have turned out historic numbers of votes, and early votes have turned out in a big way. What does President Trump and the Republicans on the ground have to do tomorrow to overcome the early vote? What do you have a sense of what sort of turnout compared to November 3rd that they need to muster to win?
Yeah, John, I've experienced running statewide as United States Senator, right, being in a runoff. And historically, blacks do not come back in a runoff. As a matter of fact, that's what the Democrats were counting on that happening to me when I ran in the Democratic primary. And then the Republican at that time, Saxby Chambliss, was very afraid that if I, because I was to the right of him on immigration,
right,
that if I were in a runoff with him, that my voters would drop off. And that has been historically, blacks do not normally come back in a runoff. But in this particular case, you're seeing a higher number of blacks come back for the runoff. Now, with that being said, I still fall back to President Trump, and I'll fall back to the Republicans. They are going to win this election or lose this election on Election Day.
Yep.
They have to turn out in significant numbers on Election Day. They can still win this race. It doesn't matter how much more money that Democrats raise. It doesn't matter how good or how not good their candidates are. What matters? The numbers are there for Republicans to win, but they can only win this election on Election Day. And that's why they have to come out, not be discouraged by the lack or feeling of non-transparency, and the Dominion system and all those other things.
Right.
If they come out, they will win this election. Both senators will win. But that's what it comes down to. Are they motivated to come back? President Trump is a huge motivating factor. He's the most significant motivating factor. If he can't get you out, nobody can.
Right.
And so with this president coming, John,
yep,
that's going to make a huge
tonight's appearance is a big deal, isn't
it? The day before election.
Yeah, that's my understanding. We talked a little bit about this in the aftermath of November 3rd, but there are so many lessons still to be learned by both parties about what happened on November 3rd and how we're going to conduct elections going forward. And anyone who says there's total fraud or no fraud isn't telling the truth. It's somewhere in the middle is where all of this occurred. And I'm curious, as you look back now at the consent decree and the deals that Kemp and Raffensperger made with the Democrats and Stacey Abrams, should the Georgia legislature go back and say, listen, we get the final words on this, and in future elections, we don't want this type of mobile boxes and other things going on? Do you think there's a will in Georgia to go back and overturn the consent decrees and the agreements that were made and say, we're the legislature, we decide how voting occurs, and we're going back to the way things used to be in Georgia? Do you think that happens after this election?
John, as a sitting member of the Georgia General Assembly, when I took an oath to serve as a state representative in the state of Georgia, I was authorized and instilled with certain duties and responsibilities.
Right.
One of them, by law and by law only for state legislators, we set and determine every piece of statute on how elections are conducted and dates here in the state of Georgia. That's left up to the members of the Georgia General Assembly.
Right.
That's what we do. Now, this Secretary of State went in the back room with Stacey Abrams, who was complaining herself about voter fraud. It's kind of ironic.
It is. The tables are turned.
Right. And now she's hashtag crickets on it. But for him to go back there now and do that kind of backroom deal without members of the legislature knowing anything about it, and we had plenty of time because we were in session initially.
You were.
Then we had to recess for a few months because of COVID. We came back into session. We were not aware of those backroom deals and the implication it would have on the voting process in the state of Georgia, in terms of free, fair, and transparent elections. What he did in that room was in a very clandestine way. It usurped our authority as state legislators to set the election laws for the state of Georgia. And now you see an impact. And the biggest area for fraud, and this should be Democrat or Republican, this is not a partisan, this is bipartisan. The biggest issue in mail-in ballots, there's so much room there for fraud. This
right.
One person went in the back room with another person who had their own agenda. And, John, they left open the exposure of potential fraud. I don't like to say more as much about voter fraud as I say about election fraud. It's
right.
A big difference. Voter go in and fraudulently make cast a vote. But the election fraud is, one, when you see dead people voting, something happened there. Two, when you see people have voted twice, something happened there.
Right.
Three, when you see elective officials, I should say, election officials counting ballots without and intentionally removing people from the room with your poll watchers, which the state of Georgia statute says that you must allow them in, both Democrat and Republican poll watchers, to keep them from being in those rooms when ballots were being counted at the largest precinct in the state of Georgia. And when you start to look at this in totality and people getting ballot requests that they didn't request, John, I got about 8 or 9 of them in the mail from companies or organizations outside of the state of Georgia saying, hey, here's the ballot request form that you asked for, and I didn't ask for it.
Amazing.
That becomes election fraud. Yeah. That starts to tank the system. That starts to break down the public trust. So I'd asked for the governor to have a special session. Obviously, he didn't do it. That would have given us an opportunity to either to investigate or review a lot of this among legislators. So they could come back in January, the second week. And I believe they are going to come back. They are going to make corrections. They are going to fix a lot of things. But because future elections matter as well. But yeah, that was the biggest error. Raffensperger really took away the opportunity for the people to really have a free, fair, and transparent election based on what he did. That one thing he did that he didn't have the power to do.
Yeah,
or at least, John, let me say this. He should have brought what he was going to do, that consent decree, before it was signed. It should have been made available to every member of the Georgia General Assembly so we could ask those questions. You know, 236 members heads better than two heads. We probably would have seen a lot of this coming. We just having the input. And I'm sure we would have taken some moves in terms of how we certify those ballots, whether it's signature, whether it's other types of options. Can this software actually change votes from one candidate to another candidate? Well, obviously, we're hearing that it can. So from that perspective, but this is not partisan. This should be bipartisan. Republicans and Democrats should care about this. And that's why I care about it, because I was sworn and I took an oath on behalf of the people of the 91st House District and the state of Georgia.
Yeah, it's so important that, and you mentioned the backroom deal, the state secretary of state and election coordinator, they don't have the authority to change the rules for the election. Only the legislature does. And,
right.
You know, there's been a ruling in Wisconsin that a lot of people have overlooked. But in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Election Commission, unelected bureaucrats, made a decision that people could declare themselves homebound and vote without voter identification. 200,000 plus people did so. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court says that change was illegal. It should have gone through the legislature.
Right.
At some point, that's going to get adjudicated back, and we'll find out how many of those 200,000. But in Georgia, you just described the same thing. A secretary of state made a decision that only the legislature is supposed to make.
Right.
And so you feel pretty confident that Georgia lawmakers, legislators are going to, the state legislators are going to take their election back and set the rules the way they wanted, not the way Raffensperger, Kemp, and Stacey Abrams wanted. Is that correct? You feel confident?
I can tell you that. I can tell you that some are going to be held responsible for this already in the next election in 2022.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, legislators have heard so much from their voters and from their constituents.
I bet.
If they don't do anything, it's going to cost them their jobs too. Because, again, people are angry. They're frustrated. They don't feel as though somebody has been fighting for them. They're not being heard. It's making a lot of, they've made a lot of noise. Let me tell you what's happening even in Washington right now when they count those electoral votes. Why are they going through what they're going through? Because those U.S. senators and those House members have heard from their constituents. And that's the last stop gap. That's the last move that they can make. And I am surprised why some courts have not heard these cases. Give an example, too. How, you know, state statute is supposed to apply across the board for all counties. How is it that some counties can say, well, we're going to take these ballots later, or we're going to start counting these ballots earlier? How can they just do that? And that has happened in several states. And so, and another thing too, John, I hope they address. Right now, people, that I got friends of mine who moved out of state. They receive some of those same mail-in ballots where
Amazing.
They've been voting for the past 2 or 3 years in another
right.
state. But they receive those same requests. But ironically, they're able to get that ballot, vote in Georgia, and nobody know about it. That's because Georgia, there's no national database. And Georgia can do this without Congress. They can create a national database to be able to download real-time the databases in other states so they can do a database check and see if that person is registered in two states. If they are, they can reject his ballot right then and there.
Wow.
Or reject his
So that's a real short sight in the system, right? There's a gap here for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do it when you do a background check on someone. Don't
that's
we check
right.
all 50 states?
Yeah, we do.
You know, when you apply for a gun license, don't we check?
Right.
So there should be... It's easy for this state to create a national database. Consultants have it. Political operatives have these various databases. The news media have these databases from all these different states, like Secretary of State's office,
right.
on who's registered. So why can't the state of Georgia have a database, a national database, to double check and make sure these people are not registered in two different states? And I can go further than that. I would say no longer can outside groups outside of the state of Georgia be targeting voters in the state of Georgia. When I look at the mail where I'm getting from organizations outside the state of Georgia, meddling in and influencing our voting here in Georgia, that itself should be stopped. And we don't have to wait on the country to do that. Georgia can do that right here in the upcoming Georgia General Assembly. And I do plan to participate, be there lobbying. I'll be out of office, but I'll make sure that I continue to fight for a free, fair, and transparent election.
Yeah, such an important point. Now, I want to turn to the candidates for a second. So you got Perdue and Loeffler, and then Warnock and Ossoff. And you've been a lifelong Democrat, even though you've supported President Trump. You've never changed your party affiliation. Do the two candidates that the Democrats have put on the Senate slate for this year, do they represent the party that you became part of when you first joined politics a few decades ago?
Categorically, unequivocally not. And I give an example. I never heard of the Democratic Party wanting to defund the police, not when I started 30 years ago.
Right.
I never heard the Democratic Party talked about in accepting socialism and communism. And Marxism, they're doing it now. I never knew about a Democratic Party that would want to keep children in failing schools based on their policies. They are against school choice. Parents should have the decision, not the government, but the parents should make the decision on their child's quality education. And when kids are trapped in a failing school because of their zip code, and that mother or that father cannot take their kids to a performing school because of what the law says, so that child fails, and that safety net, and you know they're targeted to not to have a quality of life in terms of being able to have job opportunities and education, all of that stuff. So when I see the Democrats embrace that, and I tell you the most latest one, I'm totally shocked right now. The House of Representatives, the U.S. House of Representatives, led by Nancy Pelosi, and all those other liberals. Now they have a new rule change for the House floor.
Yeah.
Where you no longer can refer to someone as Mr. Representative or Madam Representative or him or her or father, mother, brother, sister. You have to now talk in terms of gender neutral. They, them, parents, not mother and father. Your sibling, now you have to call, you can't say my brother or my sister. You have to say my sibling. What is that?
Yeah.
And again, that's where the liberal Democrats have captivated the most conservative, I think, block of people they've ever been. That's been people of color. Blacks have always been very conservative, but they don't realize that they have been hijacked by the liberal Democrats who get their votes but have them carrying out a liberal agenda that's actually devastating and punitive to the Black community, the nucleus of the Black community, and traditional values by the Black community, and this country, and many families. So now, John, if you're my brother, and you serve in Congress too, and I walk up to you, I can't say to you, brother representative, I have to say member representative. Or my dad served, I can't walk in and say, hey, you're my father. To my father.
Wow.
Really? Or to my mother? I mean, really?
Yeah, we can't even refer to each other as he, apparently. Yes. Yeah.
So no, that's what I said. My party left me. I didn't leave the party. And these are just basic traditional values. So now what's going to be happening next? They're going to pass public policy to tell kids in school, when they go to school with their brothers and their sisters, and from elementary to middle to high school, you can no longer now refer to your brother, this is my brother James, or this is my sister Jana. Now they're going to say, oh, this is my sibling. Really? This changes a person's quality of life. This is helping a person get a job. This is helping a person start their business. This is helping fund the police department. I mean, John has just gone too far.
It is an amazing time. I think a lot of people have not yet fully absorbed the impact of those rule changes on the House floor and what a template it really is for expanding it beyond the House floor. I mean, the House floor is just a starting point. It isn't the ending point for this initiative.
It's just a starting point.
Yeah, such a great point. Vernon, I want to ask one other question.
And by the way, John, that doesn't mean that you're homophobia or xenophobia.
That's right.
See, that's what they're going to title, oh, you're homophobia or xenophobia. Look, I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm claustrophobia, all right? But I'm not homophobia or xenophobia
right.
Because I want to refer to my brother as brother or
yeah.
my sister as sister, my dad as my father, you know? And so you watch. They're going to try to shape the narrative. If you're against that, then you're homophobia or xenophobia. Now, you just watch what the liberal whites will do.
It's pretty remarkable. And I want to go to another demonization point, because I think there's a theme here that we're beginning to see. Over the last few days, there's been a discussion that the president should be prosecuted for expressing his opinion on the phone call, that lawyers who represented legitimate Republican interests in the courts should have their license pulled, that state legislators who may try to continue investigating election fraud could be criminally prosecuted. Some of that's happened in Michigan. One of that happened in Georgia. Have we gotten to the point now that our differences have become criminalized, that the new way that the left is fighting is to criminalize things that used to be covered by free speech in America? I wonder if you're starting to see that trend as well.
Well, let me give you an example. Stacey Abrams was a state legislator when she filed the lawsuit, or let's say when she had a problem of talking about it was not a fair election.
Right.
Now, should she be criminalized or should she be prosecuted for what she may have said about those elections, whether to the Secretary of State or any other elected official? I bet you she had some words. Matter of fact, she had some words before that, before Brian Kemp beat her. So now, First Amendment, what's wrong with the president calling and saying, hey, you need to do this or do that? Now, if he does it based on political purposes, or if he does it based on breaking the law, let's say if the Secretary of State broke the law by having that conversation with the president, that's one thing.
Yeah, that's a different thing scenario.
And the president, how many times he tweeted his frustrations out, what he said and how he felt? That's nothing new.
Right.
He said on a phone call, matter of fact, what he said publicly, he made it public before he even made the phone call how he felt. That's a distraction, in my opinion.
That's right.
Because I tell you, why didn't the liberal media make a big deal about Hunter Biden's computer? In that computer, it talked about stuff with Joe Biden.
Right.
That was private clandestine stuff with this president, presidential candidate, actually was mentioned in his son's emails and others' emails about money going back to the big man. To the big guy.
Right.
But the media completely overlooked. Matter of fact, big tech actually said the New York Post story wasn't worth reading. It wasn't true. So they
censored it.
They censored it. So now, what's the big deal? That was private. The meeting that Joe Biden had with Hunter and that gentleman who was working for them, who went on Fox and told, you know, what had happened, that
right.
they were involved and engaged.
Yep.
That was a private meeting in person, and Joe Biden was there.
Yeah.
Well, he released a lot of supporting documents, but nobody's talking about prosecuting Joe Biden. And so it's the height of hypocrisy. Let's focus. And I hope Georgians focus on the real issue here, because the media is really trying to blur the lines. The real issue here, if you don't want Marxism and socialism, if you don't want your small business to be taxed, because remember, first Joe Biden said those 400,000 or more, but now his a potential pick for Treasury is talking about now taxing everybody. See, they already started out a line to the American people. And so So, John, it's just a distraction. If we want to keep socialism from coming in, if we want to stop people from burning churches and killing people and destroying personal property and government property, we have to hold the line here in Georgia, because so goes Georgia, so goes
the country. Yeah. And will you ever change your affiliation from Democrat? I mean, you still are a Democrat. You have such a great, rich family history. Your party left you, but is there a moment in the future where you call yourself independent or Republican and you shed the Democratic label, or will you continue to remain a Democrat so you can fight within your party to change the things that you don't like in the drift?
Well, John, here's what's interesting. I just hope that I don't change who Vernon Jones is.
That's such a good point.
Because I can go and change to another party, and there can be some kooks over there. They can get too far out.
Yep.
I will say I do not align now with 90% of what Democrats are doing.
Wow.
And I am on a crusade to show the bigotry within the Democratic Party on how they treat independent thinking African Americans. In other words, if you're a white Democrat and you cross over and vote for Republican, you're glorified as a Reagan Democrat.
Right.
But if you're a black independent thinking and you cross over and vote for Republican, then you know what? You're an embarrassment to the party. You don't belong here. You don't share our values. Wow. John, that is just how much when a presidential candidate, and I've heard Joe Biden say this, words from a president matter. When a president candidate makes comments too, those words matter too, especially if that person makes that comment before and then that person get elected. But when Joe Biden said, if I don't vote for him and every other black in this country do not vote for him, then we're not black. Can you imagine if he had said that to the Jewish community?
No.
Nope. Or to Hispanics or to white women or to white men?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? But then it gets, oh, well, that's just Joe. Really? That's right. That is Joe. That is exactly who Joe has been for the past 47 years. That's why Joe Biden owned a home where the deed was restricted, where he couldn't sell it to African Americans. That's why Joe Biden hung out with Robert Byrd, who was a card-carrying Ku Klux Klan chapter president, who voted against the Civil Rights Act and said he was his hero. That's why that same Joe Biden said that black people aren't as diverse in their thinking as Latinos.
Yeah, and that was so just recently.
This is recently.
Yeah. These weren't comments he made 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. No, that's right.
And so, John, I mean, and then for black and for anybody who now, John, the left is attacking people based on their First Amendment. Many people I know are afraid to wear a MAGA hat or have a Trump sticker on their car. They don't want their car to be keyed or scratched. People have been attacked because they support President Trump. I know that for a fact because it happened to me.
It happened to you, right?
I don't hear about where people from the right are attacking those from the left who support Joe Biden. People are afraid at work now to express among their colleagues who they support. But most of it's been people on the right being afraid. Losing their jobs, not being accepted. And then on college campuses, which was the one place where you can go and have the freedom of expression. And I'll go back to University UCLA at Berkeley, which was the breeding ground back in the day where you can go and hear both sides. It was really about freedom of speech. Now at a university, they're so left-leaning. If someone is invited to speak on campus and they're not carrying the narrative of the left, then they're told they can't speak.
Yeah. No, you're right. Free speech has literally been put in a box. It's hard to believe, but it's been put into a lockbox in ways that not even 10 years ago, I think most Americans could imagine. And that's what's at stake over the next few years. This debate is going to dominate this country for a long time to come.
Yeah.
Well, Representative Vernon Jones, we are so lucky to have you on the show. I can't thank you enough for all that you do and giving us that ground intelligence before this big historic election tomorrow. We're so lucky, and we'll have you back on afterwards and hopefully you can help us make sense of all that's going on in the great state of Georgia.
Thank you, John. I, you know, what I appreciate, you have those old-fashioned journalistic fields where, you know what, you just get information, report information, let people make up their minds.
That's the key.
You don't have matter of fact, you were penalized, John. If you think about it, you were penalized by the liberal mainstream media.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were just revealing the facts. They didn't want you to put those facts out there.
It's pretty funny now that they've all cut up to the Hunter Biden story. 2 years ago, my reporting on Hunter Biden was, or actually less than 2 years ago, 18 months ago, it was deemed a conspiracy theory. And now they're all reporting, right. He's been under criminal investigation the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
So thank you for all you do.
Thank you, sir.
Your listeners can always follow me on my social media at Rep Vernon Jones. On
That's
Twitter
right. At Rep Vernon
Facebook,
Jones.
Rep Vernon Jones.
All right, sir. Well, we are going to be following you. I'm certain we're going to have you back on this great show. And thank you for all you're doing. And we'll watch tomorrow the historic election in Georgia. All right.
John, watch one other thing now.
Yes, sir.
There's a special announcement coming up on Wednesday.
Really?
Of this week.
Where will we tune into that close. Special announcement?
You're going to hear something from me on Wednesday. So
all right. Well, then we may have to have you back still this week.
You're the first to know about this.
Okay, all right. We'll be watching, sir. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick commercial break and come back and wrap things up for the day. Folks, we're sponsored today by Donors Trust, the tax-friendly way to preserve your charitable giving. In times of crisis, those with a giving spirit and a desire to build up civil society find ways to be helpful. And that's when it's good to have a charitable resource ready to deploy when they're needed most. Donors Trust offers donor-advised funds or giving accounts. You can use these funds as your own charitable investment account and manage your charitable giving in a way that's smart, tax-advantaged, aligned with your values, and private. Donors Trust clients are using their funds to support charities helping their local communities while also using their giving account to simultaneously support think tanks and liberty-minded organizations that believe our constitutional rights shouldn't get lost in a time of emergency. Now is the time to take a closer look at Donors Trust and join their community of liberty-minded donors by opening a donor advised fund. Go to donorstrust.org/justnews for the ultimate survival guide to charitable giving and learn how a donor advised fund can preserve your ability to give to the charities you love. That's donorstrust.org/justnews. All right, folks, that wraps up the Monday edition of John Solomon Reports. We hope that was helpful with the Tuesday election in Georgia, the special runoff, 2 Senate seats. We thought it'd be great to give you someone on the ground who knows how Georgia operates, what it's like. We gave you a Democratic perspective, but he's a Democrat who likes Donald Trump. And hopefully you got some real good insights as to what's going to happen here. And then we got a big tease from Rep. Vernon Jones. He said Wednesday he himself is going to make a big announcement in Georgia. Can't wait to see what that is. Very excited to follow that news. So check us out. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, we wish you well tonight. And watch all the breaking news at justthenews.com. We'll keep you up to date. Be back tomorrow. Have a blessed night. God bless America, and God bless you. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%.
Hey there. there. It's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.